I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you. Jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about quantum transitioning, or the splitting of the Earth into the 3D and 5D versions. We'll be talking about Senzar, the language of Atlantis and Lemuria, and how it affects us today. We'll be talking about crystals and how pyramids operate, and probably jumping around to a number of different topics, but before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, where we do a little bit of japa yoga, or mantra repetition, and that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, it would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Sachidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to take this time now to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for new listeners of ET Yoga, know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And, you know, especially for tonight's program, there's going to be lots of technical information coming your way. If you're a new listener, you might want to grab a pen and paper because there's some things you might want to be researching later. And also, there's going to be some really technical information a little bit later in the program about pyramids. I'm pretty sure most people wouldn't want to grasp that all at one time, and you might want to go back into the archives of BBS Radio and ET Yoga to rehear that information that'll be coming up. The best way to do that is to, or the easiest, I think, is to go to my website, which is etyoga.com, and right on the main page, you can actually find out how to do that, or you could just push a button there that's called Radio Archives, and it'll take you to about the last 10 ET Yoga programs, and those are usually posted a couple of days after the program. So a lot of people do email me and find that's very useful with respect to taking your own time to go through the information presented on this program. I'd also like to give my special thanks and appreciation to those listening audience members who do take the time to email me with program content suggestions, questions concerning any of the information I present on the ET Yoga program. And also, nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes by utilizing techniques or ideas or concepts that you hear on the program. And you can always email me at paperfungo, paperfungo, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I might as well give a little plug for my book as well. It's ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. If you like ET Yoga, you're probably going to like the book. It's jam-packed with information. And probably you can get that at Amazon.com. You can also get it at my website, etyoga.com. It's $9.95 there. Download. It's about 300 pages, jam-packed with information. Now, for tonight's program, I came across a couple of short items I wanted to share with people. Number one was... actually, it's called The Corey Story, and that's C-O-R-E-Y, story, and that's Questions for Cosmic Awareness, and that's a June 1st, 2017 channeling of cosmic awareness, and basically it's concerning some controversy that's going on in the New Age community with respect to some of the information that's passed on from Corey Good, and I guess conflicting information or position from Bill Ryan. Anyway, I don't care to take sides in this, but I think cosmic awareness is the best perspective that I've heard, and so I'm suggesting people check out on YouTube the Corey Story, Questions for Cosmic Awareness. Also, regarding the topic of the 5G rollout, best information I've heard is from a guy named Joe Imbriano, and that's I-M-B-R-I-A-N-O, and his website is www.5gdangers.com. And just wanted to give a heads up to my especially my longtime listeners of ET Yoga, because, you know, in the spiritual journey, clearly health is really, really a big factor. And, you know, when your health's gone, there's nothing really that's going to replace it. And I really try to combine the ideas of a spiritual journey with health-related concepts and ideas, because I think the two cross into each other. The more you know how the universe operates, the more you understand how important belief is, the more you understand how you're responsible for your outer experience in 3D reality, the more the two cross connect. And as a general rule, I really like to foster the concepts even of the Amish, where they are growing their own organic foods. They are not involved with technology, and also they don't take vaccinations. And when you look at the Amish community, they also don't have autism, and they don't really have cancer or heart disease like the mainstream population. And I really think that says a lot. And if you do some research, you're going to find out that's so. And I know it's really tough for everybody, and everybody's in a different situation with respect to how much time they're spending with technology, their limits with respect to flexibility regarding where they live, et cetera, and all revolving around the issue of money. And I appreciate that everybody's in a different situation there, depending on their own personal circumstances. But this 5G thing, in my personal opinion, is this is the rollout of artificial intelligence. And Joe Imbriano brings up some really good points. And the two points that stuck out in my mind the most were his information concerning the current 4G program, which has a frequency that affects the water molecules in the body. And the 5G is so much stronger that, in his opinion, basically what it will do, it will actually change the electron spin of the water molecules in anybody living near one of these 5G towers. And they're going to be like close proximity to each other in order for them to operate, which I think is going to create an exodus of a certain amount of people, at least, to more towards the countryside. And the bottom line here is that his concern is that it'll probably double the rate of cancer, and not to mention certain effects on some certain of the internal organs of the body and the inability to produce vitamin D, which is the trigger to the immune system. So it's going to create a lot of compromised immune systems. I personally concur with that information and suggest you check out the topic. Try to throw a positive spin on it, but I don't mind telling you it's a challenge. And that's not even going into the AI aspect of it. In other words, where AI can be involved in this whole scenario, and the 5G and AI are like glove and fist. So just want to pass that on your way for you to check out on your own. But also at this point in time, like to do just a little bit of jnana yoga. We haven't done some jnana yoga in the program for a while, and basically it's the yoga of knowledge and wisdom, and can't think of anybody better to get information from than Sri Ramana Maharshi. At the end of the program tonight, I'll be sharing with you the Who Am I technique, and I'm going to share some information from him just a little bit right now. Because he states that for the substance of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry. This is the direct method. All other methods are practical while retaining the ego and practiced while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry, there is only the subject and no object. That is the difference between them. And when asked, why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization? And he answers that question because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch the thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. The first and foremost of all thoughts that arise in the mind is the primal I thought. It is only after the rise or origin of the I thought that innumerable other thoughts arise. In other words, only after the first personal pronoun I has arisen do the second and third personal pronouns you, he, she, etc. occur to the mind, and they cannot subsist without it. And that's from Sri Ramana Maharshi. Really highly suggest his book, The Path of Self-Knowledge. And I'd also like to now share some information concerning time. Some interesting concepts, I think, that are worth maybe even using some meditation time related to it. And I'm going to start off by stating that the present is not the result of the past. The present is a result of the present. Creation occurs in the present. The present is the normal, but is actually optional. If you suddenly make a discrete shift in beliefs, you will experience a sudden discrete shift in your now reality. The present is the now result of what you now believe to be most true for you. The past has absolutely no effect on the present except to the extent that you believe it does. As you change your present by changing your present beliefs, you are shifting into a different parallel reality, and that different parallel reality has its own future and past. Said another way, when you choose your present, you are likewise also changing your past and your future. That is, you are shifting to a totally different hologram which contains its own past that is consistent with its present and also its own future, which is likewise consistent with its present. You create the past and the future from the here and now. Continuity is an illusion, just like the continuity in movies is an illusion, since it's really 24 discrete pictures per second. Therefore, the continuity is optimal. The past progressively deals to and leads to the present, but it does not cause the present. And just as movies can suddenly shift from one scene to a totally different scene, likewise, you can too, since continuity is not necessary. Only the present is real. Therefore, only the present can create the present. And if you insist on believing that the present is the result of the past, then you are now dragging the past into the present and now projecting that this seeming past has an effect on the present. Notice, by the way, that all this dragging the past into the present is also occurring only in the present. This is like dragging an anchor around rather than simply letting go of the anchor, the past, and living freely and easily in the present. Be free of the past and live joyously in the present. And I might add that another nice little, call it a technique if you like, but it's related to the whole concept of letting go of the past. What usually hangs us up on things that occurred in the past is blaming somebody or something or some organization or some event that occurred in the past, and we end up blaming them. And first thing that you do when you blame something is it creates you as a victim. Blame, complaint, and justification of circumstances are signposts of victimhood. So the first thing you do when you blame somebody is you create yourself as a victim. And the second thing is that it's not consistent with taking 100% responsibility for creating your outer experience in 3D reality. In other words, we are co-creators of our experience. There is no event that can take place unless you're a frequency match for it. So it's not that you have to blame yourself either, because it's just another form of victimhood. The idea here being is to, if you're the one who's creating your experience, then there's nobody to blame. And if you were to transition or pass on, let's say, and look back at your current life, what you're going to see is that, ironically, all the things you complain about, you were the one that created them. So it's just totally ridiculous. And that's another signpost that you're becoming aware, is when you become aware of something that's totally ridiculous, because that in itself tells you that it's not in alignment with your higher self, because issues that you find totally ridiculous are not in alignment with your higher self. And it's a good way to identify them. Now, some other interesting concepts around the idea of time. I got some information from the founders, channeled by Sal Rochelle. And the founders state that time can be changed and modified by your own awareness. And therefore, history is not written in stone. Each timeline is like a thread in a tapestry, and each thread a possible reality. Each event in 3D is electrically embedded in the Akashic record itself, but can be viewed in another timeline. And any event can be moved into another timeline, and if you can jump from one timeline to another, it's like if you wanted to change history, you could simply select another thread of the fabric and make it your timeline, and your current physics actually calls this quantum entanglement. So if you want something to research, that'd be an interesting one, how time fits into quantum entanglement. And according to Metatron, as a practical example of this, he states that time and probability are a beautiful illusionary paradox. And this is why we tell you that the golden age of Atlantis is actually an event horizon from your future that you pulled into your seeming past. So that would be a practical application of quantum entanglement. Speaking of health issues, the last ET Yoga program, I kind of got into Egyptian healing rods because I consider the most advanced methods that I know about with respect to impacting your overall health would be the Qigong, sun gazing, and Egyptian healing rods. I'm not going to go into Egyptian healing rods tonight because I spoke quite a bit about it last program. So if you're interested, you go back to the show that was 2 weeks ago. Check out the archives, and you can find out more about Egyptian healing rods. But on the topic of sun gazing, and the best stuff I know on the internet is by Hira Ratan Manik, and that's H-I-R-A, middle name Ratan, R-A-T-A-N, last name Manik, M-A-N-E-K. Amazing information. According to him, the brain remains dormant without the sun. Sunlight has to reach the brain, and it reaches the brain through the eyes. And we must be careful how to do this. So he always states 1 hour from sunrise and 1 hour before sunset. Those are the times when there's no ultraviolet, and those are the safe times. And the health of the eye improves through the process of looking at the rising or setting sun. You don't change anything else in your life. You just add gazing. And the first day, you look for 10 seconds only. And you can even look through a window. Second day, you add 10 seconds. You look for 20 seconds maximum. You increase 10 seconds per day. And if it's cloudy out or whatever, it's the effect is cumulative, so you don't worry about it. And if you keep up with this after 3 months, you'll be at 15 minutes. If you had your eyes tested, your prescription will change. And he suggests you get the results yourself, but don't tell the eye doctor because they're certainly not going to recommend it. That'd be like the medical system trying to cure you of something. They lose your business. And then another wonder takes place, and some of the software of the brain gets activated, the mind becomes balanced, and then you become positive in thinking, fear falls away, even the fear of death, and you also develop willpower, become more peaceful and mentally healthy, diabetes and other ailments go away. And to me, that's the key there. Like, this is one way to work on your health. Doesn't cost you a dime. All it costs is your effort. And Zen Gardner states the following, that many proponents of this ancient technique used by many cultures such as the Mayan, Egyptian, Aztec, Tibetan, and Indian yoga report not only healing benefits to common illnesses, but obtaining superhuman abilities such as advanced telepathy and going completely without the need for food. During the first 3 months of practice, the sun energy is moving through the eyes and charging the hypothalamus tract. The brain then becomes activated by the energy supply being received by the sun. At 3 to 6 months of gazing, the studies show that physical diseases start to disappear. They say that by the time one is gazing 30 minutes per day, building up 10 seconds per day, all the colors of the sun will have reached the brain. Color, actually therapists attribute their healing of certain diseases to flooding the body and brain with the particular color that is lacking, depending on the ailment. For example, in the liver disease, the color green is deficient, the kidneys need red, and the heart yellow. All of the organs and all of the systems are said to respond to different colors of the rainbow, which is why it is also recommended to eat a diet rich in a variety of colors. It is recommended during the 3 to 4 month period that you use auto-suggestion to see your body already healed of any perceived weakness or disease. This action will facilitate the process of returning to wholeness. By 7.5 months of gazing, now at 35 minutes, need and desire for food is dwindling. According to sun-gazing experts, food is not actually needed to maintain the body. Only energy and sun-eating provides that energy. By 9 months, all taste for food, including aroma, hunger, pains, and cravings, disappear. Those who make it this far say that they report a noticeable change in the way their brain feels, like it's charging up. After 9 months of sun gazing, reaching a maximum of 44 minutes, it is advised that you give up sun gazing and redirect your attention to the earth. For 6 days straight, one is to walk barefoot on the earth 45 minutes per day. During this barefoot walking, the pineal gland is said to become activated. Professional sun gazers and those researching the science say that each toe is connected to a specific gland, and by walking barefoot on the earth, you activate these glands. The big toe is thought to be aligned with the pineal gland, the second toe to the pituitary, then the hypothalamus, thalamus, and finally the pinky toe correlates to the amygdala. Walking barefoot with the sun now falling on the top of your head, and practitioners claim to create a sort of magnetic field in and around your body that recharges you and your brain. Apparently, this walking benefit part is the most important aspect of the practice. As you continue walking on the earth, this is when the magic really begins. The pineal gland is activated more and more by this walking procedure, and the intellect is said to increase along with memory. The pineal gland has navigational and psychic capabilities, meaning telepathy, and the possibility of flight. If you can walk 45 minutes every day for a year, you are considered golden. At that point, only a maintenance of 3 to 4 days a week is necessary to maintain the capabilities you have acquired. Interesting that Hero Rattan Manik was also studied by NASA, and science kind of proves his claims. I'd now like to move on to that portion of the program I was mentioning that I wanted to talk a little bit about Senzar. That's S-E-N-Z-A-R, Senzar, which is or was the language of Atlantis and Lemuria. And there is a video on YouTube, and they found a text under in this pyramid. And there's a woman who was downloaded with the Senzar language. And in the video, this ancient language is being read aloud. And it's a linguistic structure that's identical to the linguistic structure of the DNA and language of the human crystal. It actually listening to this text and it initiates the activation of human dormant DNA commands. I mean, this is really powerful language. I mean, we're talking about Atlantis and Lemuria. We're talking about fifth density consciousness. At that time on the planet, the language was amazingly powerful. And just by listening to this download activates dormant DNA, and this in turn promotes the organism's adaptation to the changes of environment provoked by the changes in solar activity and the Earth's magnetic fields. And it's also interesting that Adranus, channeled by Brad Johnson, is stating that this time period from right now till the end of the month apparently is going to be like the unveiling of the event, not the event, which I guess could be equated with a lot of different definitions. But definitely we are on track here for some kind of quantum transition, or you can call it the splitting of the Earth, call it the splitting of the timelines. You can call it what you like, but the bottom line here is that the sun is definitely a primary player. And one of the reasons why I'm promoting as well the sun gazing during this program, because there's such a bad rap on the sun. I mean, they've got a society so afraid that people are slathering on all this sunscreen, which actually causes cancer. I don't know, about 10 years ago I did research on it. I gave some shows on ET Yoga, gave the specific chemical combinations that it produces and how it exacerbates cancer. To me, if you want to use some olive oil and some water, or, you know, use some natural products, argan oil, even aloe vera juice, whatever. That to me is the idea. If you want to put some protection on for your sun, of course, everybody needs to use some common sense when they're out in the sun. But the bottom line here is we're getting information from the sun. It's actually helping us to evolve our DNA, and we're getting some big downloads coming up. And the sun is really, really important, and in my opinion, it's like your spiritual father, and I have no part in any of this sun fear scam that's going on around the planet. Now, this Senzar was spoken in the times of Atlantis and Lemuria for communication with the extraterrestrial civilizations. It was brought to Earth from the Pleiadian constellations. This constellation is connected with the solar system via miscellaneous cycles. The sun rotates around Alcyon, the central star of the Pleiades constellation. And actually, in 2012, the time period of 26,000 years ended, and a quantum transition was anticipated at that time. And this is why I think we're kind of been in kind of like time dilation since then, because I think that's probably the when the big event was supposed to happen, but it's still, thankfully, a few years off yet, as more people are waking up. Now, at one of the pyramids in South America, they found a scheme of what's called a nine-tier pyramid, and it's also described in the texts that were found. And each of its facets, there are hieroglyphics are drawn, and a theory is that they are the sonographs, a special graphical form of sound recording. And there's a science of cymatics, which in essence studies how the sounds produce symbols and vice versa, and how each symbol radiates a sound. And torsion field physics tells us that every symbol radiates a nonlinear torsion field. Thus, the nine tiers of the pyramid radiate certain vibrations. Each tier of the pyramid corresponds to a digit, and pronunciation of the digit brings about activation of the radiation of corresponding tier of the pyramid. The digital cosmo matrices, or sets of numbers, were received, the pronunciation of which activates certain sequences of pyramid radiations. And as a result, a vortex appears above it, which draws surrounding space into the pyramid and cleanses it from the negative. And so the pyramid's called the noosphere correction module, and it is embedded into one of the junctions or nodes of the planetary grid on which the global pyramid system is founded. The purpose of the system is to purify the noosphere from the negative, and there exists the possibility of the pyramid functioning in the Stargate's mode. The global system is particularly activated in the time of change of planetary cycles. And the noosphere correction module is a timer which activates the pyramids and other sacral formations located in the nodes of the planetary grid at the right time. And it had been constructed by the Atlanteans on the nodes of the grid. And they also placed the time capsules within the pyramids. And the planetary grid is a system of the planet's meridians. Its nodes are the acupuncture points, while the pyramids are the antennas, and with the help of which the useful information is being injected. The harmonizing vibrations of a pyramid, which have entered one of the grid nodes, are being spread through it to the whole planet and are being radiated through other nodes. The planet pyramid system is created for cleansing of the noosphere from the negative and for transmission of vibrations which activate the dormant DNA commands for stabilization of Earth's magnetic field, as well as the creating of an energy shield to protect the planet from intense solar activity in the period of quantum transition, which we are now in. And these exist a possibility of creating new nodes of planetary grid with the help of the Noosphere Correction Module's avatars. The pyramid scheme printed on a piece of paper functions as a torsion generator, which creates a teleportation channel connecting the real pyramid to the location of its avatar. That allows the stabilizing of the functioning of a planetary grid surrounding the pyramid's activation. The planetary grid is a point of the planet's noosphere crystal. It's an energy and information cell which the noosphere consists of. Besides the grid, this cell consists of a bioplasma, the atmosphere, magnetic, and other fields of the flow, and the DNA program. And the grid is a carrier of the noosphere information field. The information in noosphere field is preserved in the form of program consisting of the DNA wave commands of the I Ching. And the crystal is present in different dimensions in the form of a platonic solids. Each crystal is projected to the planet's surface. The vortices of crystals are the planet's chakras. The ribs of the crystals are the planet's energy meridians. The crystal vertices radiate energy on the level of the planet, and this is manifested in the form of mountains. All the mountains are standing on the vertices of the crystal and are functional as the main energy source for Atlantean planetary shield. And the Carpathians are one of the most ancient mountains, and there are stargates and portals to other realms located within them. A depiction of a trident had been discovered in the Carpathians, which is analogous to the trident from Nazca, and that's N-A-Z-C-A, Nazca Plateau. This fact points to the network of portals connecting the Carpathians to the Nazca. One of the portals of the Carpathians is an artificial structure with inscriptions of petroglyphs, which, according to the legends, had been created by the giants. This location has thrown activity cycles, and it's called Rysayana Kamen, and that's Rysayniakamin, and that's called the inscribed stone. That's the meaning of that. Several expeditions had discovered the humming of this portal in the hours of its activity. Crystals radiate their own sounds. Pythagoras correlated the platonic solids with the sounds, and as a result of which, the music of spheres came out. The sound of the noosphere is the aggregated sound of five platonic solids, even vertex of which radiates its own vibration in the form of Sanskrit letters. Radiation of such a sound harmonizes the planet's noosphere, the field of events and health of a human as well. Harmonization takes place as a result of the processes studied by physics of Keeley. It is stated in it that a physical object consists of the ether flow, with the help of vibrations of sound frequencies, is possible to make the ether vibrate. Having created a vibration, it may be focused in the necessary directions. The energies either flow form a passage through which the high pressure of ethereal vibrations flow out into the physical form. In this way, it is possible to receive the energy from the sound, creating a bridge which allows the ether's energy to flow into the physical reality. The Atlanteans used the information for construction of Atlantis's main crystal. And in this crystal, the sound of platonic solids activated the ether and created the energy which the Atlanteans used. One of the energy manifestations was the anti-gravity effect, with the help of which the massive blocks for pyramid constructions were moved. The same effects were used during the creation of the 13 crystal skulls of Atlanteans through the method of morphocrystalline transformation. So the noosphere correction module is a timer which activates the pyramids and the other sacral formations located at the nodes of the planetary grid at the right time. And one of the pages contains a map which looks like a section of the Nazca Plateau. And the plateau is a map which shows the location of various pyramids and other sacral structures of the planet. And from this map, it became clear that the noosphere correction module is located in Mexico in Chichen Itza. And the whole Mexican pyramid system has been constructed by the Atlanteans, who knew about the quantum transition. And after completion of contraction of the world pyramid, or construction of the world pyramid system, they left through the Stargate to other locations in the universe. In our 11/11/2011, an activation of the worldwide pyramid system has been carried out with the help of a DNA sound key, which is encoded into the I Ching sequence. And these signals are the sound spectra received with the help of laser quantum biocomputers, and that was developed by our friend Gurajev again, and their Russian team of scientists from Moscow. So basically, this quantum transition has been anticipated by the Atlanteans, and not only have the pyramids been activated for this time of quantum transition, but so have the crystals. And according to Metatron, the scientist priests, the crystal masters of Atlantis, and the Poseidon Temple guardians of the Law of One were called the Atlara. And masters, you have waited eons for this time, for this completion. And those of the Atlara, those of the crystal temples of Poseidon, will hear the clarion call. The master crystals of the Golden Age of Atlantis are opening the rainbow of dimensional access that accelerate your planetary and personal ascension. It is a promise kept, a sacred completion. Indeed, you may access the benevolent energies and the wisdom of the Atlantean crystals of healing and knowledge etherically. It is not fully necessary for you to be there in physical embodiment within the Arkansas vortex for you to receive and take part in this activation. Yet, there is a benefit for those of you hearing the call to visit the vortex and walk the crystal fields. Those of you choosing to visit the sacred healing lands of Arkansas will be able to find a personal crystal imbued with the golden era of Atlantis. Indeed, permission is granted and the crystals offer themselves to you for this and myriad purposes. These guardians of Sirius, Arcturus, and the Pleiades are even now preparing the stage and await you to join them. Send your energy, send your light and intent of highest good to what is termed the platinum crystal of bioplasmic interface, crystal of the platinum ray, the ray of balance and knowledge. It once reigned in wisdom and light in the temple of Poseidon, and so many of you will again see it clearly in your mind's eye. Indeed, you will feel it in your heart amid tears of joy. And that is from Metatron. And to me, this is all really interesting stuff, because we're not only seeing that the Atlanteans basically are using the pyramid system as a timer to help us in this time of quantum transition, but also we're getting help from the crystals. And the biggest difference, as I hear it, about 70% of the people living in America right now were around during the times of Atlantis, and many of the same scenarios are taking place that were taking place then. The two big things that are helping us to come out on the positive side this time around are the fact of the divine dispensation, let's say, and intervention, and the fact that we have so many positive extraterrestrial races also assisting us at this time, which we didn't have the first go-around. And I really think it's important in this point in time to reflect on the fact that way back in times of Atlantis, these pyramids were programmed to be activated now, and that's been proven now by the Russian scientist Gurdjieff. It's G-A-R-J-E-V. And as well, according to Metatron, these before the fall of Atlantis, these major crystals were buried, and they are now activating as well. So we're getting lots of help here, not to mention with the sun impulsing and more and more assisting our embedded DNA to activate. So lots of positive things happening with respect to this, what is termed a quantum transition. Some people like to call it the ascension process. Some would call it the splitting of the 3D to 5D Earths, or the splitting of the timelines. But clearly, we're headed for some amazing events. I don't think that far down the road. Nobody's able to really put a specific date on it. But again, indications that putting the dots together to me indicate that we're in some kind of a time dilation bubble in our solar system. And I think that time's passing at a different rate inside our solar system right now than time is actually occurring outside of it. Just my personal opinion, based on putting the dots together. And, of course, one of the biggest things that we can do as individuals, let go of the past. And as I mentioned before, one of the easiest ways to let go of the past is to take responsibility for it. And there's nobody left to blame. Kind of frees you up from a lot of old baggage. And according to Corey Good, actually, that a lot of these old issues are like kind of act like anchors that bind us down. I mean, it'd be like if we're in a one of those helium balloons that rise off the ground. The bags of sand, those are kind of like emotional hang-ups that we or old issues that we tend to hang on to. Just dump all the bags and you'll be flying. So another good tip, I think, comes from Bashar. That's Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement. You can look that up on YouTube. It's apparently Beethoven was downloaded with the precise frequencies and sounds in this particular piece of music that allow us to let go. And I guess we can all use the help with that one. So very exciting times with respect to, I like that term, quantum transition. A lot of positives, as well as I guess it's as they used to say in the old Dickens novels, the best of times, the worst of times. And always remember the idea about placing positive spin on outer events. No event comes with built-in meaning. So the spin you put on an outer event and the definition you give it will give you that experience of that particular circumstance. And as usual about this time in the program, I'd like to give my sincere best to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, and to wish you the best in your spiritual quest towards full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll close the program tonight with the sharing of the Who Am I technique. This was a technique that was called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, and used by Sri Ramana Maharshi's disciples. And it was the methods by which he attained self-realization. Many people have had amazing experiences utilizing this technique, and I first heard about it from Baba Ram Das, and then later more detail about it through the book The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And at the top of the program, I talked about the direct method, and the direct method is self-inquiry. And in this process, you might want to do your asanas and pranayams or whatever method you use to get to the highest place you can. And when you're in the highest place you can, focus your full attention in the center of your forehead. And when you're got everything focused and you have become that spot in the center of your forehead, then you state the question, who am I? And you can do that once or 10 times or whatever seems to be comfortable, whatever works for you. And then you would state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.